Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a big one tomorrow for the Tennessee Volunteers as they go on the road to take on Pitt. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Adam, we've talked about this week. I've been intrigued by the line because, you know, Pitt is higher ranked than Tennessee is. You know, they had an emotional game against West Virginia. I think Tennessee opened up as a 4.5-point favorite, and now it's up to almost a touchdown. This is an intriguing game to me. I think, you know, I'm a little wary of Tennessee being a touchdown favorite in this game. What do you make of that part of this, and what do you think of this matchup for Tennessee as they go on the road?
Well, I mean, I usually trust Vegas, and I don't think they're probably far off on this one, but I don't trust lines very much this early in the season, especially when you've got, I mean, Pitt had a competitive game against a competitive team. Tennessee had a game that they could have won by 30, they could have won by 70. And I do think a lot of times people react on those lines early in the season. They react based on offense and stats. And the thought of Tennessee coming into the year was that they scored a lot of points late last year, and they're going to score even more this year. And I think usually when you have those two types of – when you have two teams that are different in that way, that – usually you lean towards a team that can score a lot of points, and I think that's why things have moved towards Tennessee.
Well, I think it's also sometimes you have a huge, long-suffering, excitable fan base that jumps on something.
That throws money that way.
Yep, right? I mean, I think that's part of this too. I also feel like we had Pat Narduzzi on this week, Adam, and you know he kind of downplayed it, but I bet you he's probably mentioning it about 17 times an hour with this team. Do you worry psychologically about this? You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of discussion already about, oh, that Florida game. Oh, man, Anthony Richardson, you know. Like, this is a huge game for Tennessee. Like, where do you feel they are? Where do you feel they are psychologically going into this one?
Yeah, I mean, they should see this as a pretty big game. I was trying to look through the split in the road here in which way this season can go based on this. And, you know, you could see it if Tennessee loses this game and they beat Akron next week, and then, yeah, Florida suddenly is looks like Florida. We'll see if that continues against Kentucky. But, you know, you could lose some early toss-up games now, and it obviously gets harder in October. Okay, that's the bad end. The good end is if you win this game, then Tennessee on next week is ranked in the teens. And then they blow out Akron, Florida. If they beat Kentucky, they beat South Florida. And then in a little over 2 weeks from now, we've got a number 10 Florida coming to town to face a number 15 Tennessee. And, you know, and suddenly it's 1997, you know. I mean, it's. I do think this. There's a really good scenario here for Tennessee, and there's a not so good scenario, and it really hinges on how this game goes.
Adam, what were your takeaways defensively against Ball State, and translating that to this matchup against Pittsburgh? Did you learn anything new with Tennessee's defense? What did you think of the pass rush? How do you think the Vols match up defensively in this game?
Yeah, I mean, they didn't get a sack, and so, you know, I know there's a lot of reasons for that. Alabama and Georgia and Kentucky and I think Ole Miss, they also didn't have a sack in the first game, so maybe that's fine. And there were reasons of what Ball State did in that game, why Tennessee didn't get a sack. But if you have a concern the entire offseason and then your first game against a bad team, that concern doesn't change, then I'm carrying that concern to the next game. So Tennessee's going to have to get a rush in this game. Now, Ball State got the ball out of their hands really, really quickly. And it would have been a sack on the first play, by the way, had they not made an errant throw and thrown the pick to Tennessee that first play. But Pitt runs a lot of play action, slower developing plays. they get big plays, but there's also longer for Keaton Slovis to be in the pocket, so Tennessee should get more time to get a rush. That also means those DBs have to hold up longer, so there's sort of a pro and a con there. Tennessee's going to have to play physical in this game. There's no doubt about that. You've heard Josh Heupel preach on that all week because they know what Pitt can do. I do like the sort of the binary in this game because, you know, you mentioned Narduzzi going in y'all's show. I think this is a typical thing where one coach can say, and Narduzzi can say, we play real football. He could do that a little bit last year, what they did on defense. But last year they were more finesse. They were relying on Kenny Pickett and Jordan Addison. But this year it's, hey, we play real football. We play slobber knocker power football between the tackles. We're aggressive on defense, and we're going to run it down your throat on offense. And, hey, look at that team over there from the SEC. That's finesse and speed, and they can't hang with you guys in your home on your home field in real football. We didn't get that contrast as much last year in the Pitt-Tennessee game. We're absolutely going to have it this year. This is two teams that their philosophy and their approach to football is more in the image of their coach, and we'll see which philosophy wins out.
No, that's a great point. They are going to – it's going to look like more of a contrast than last year based on their OC change, which, of course, wasn't a chosen OC change by Pat Narduzzi. And that's the thing is he's – I know as a D coordinator, he's always kind of been like, whatever bothers me is what I want to do on offense. So he actually has kind of been open to, like, you know, being more wide open offensively. But no, there's no doubt. Like, they're going to try to run the ball at Tennessee Saturday, and that's going to be a huge deal. And Adam, I look at in particular the interior of the defensive line. I didn't love what I saw, you know, in the first glimpse. I think there's talent there, but I think they really need some people to step up. At linebacker, I definitely like what I see from Jeremy Banks, but just that part of the defense. What did you think in that opener? Where do you think the ceiling is?
Yeah, I mean, I think the step-up comment that you make, I think, is pretty accurate because this is what we've heard a lot on defense over the offseason was that on the defensive line, where there's a lot of guys up there that have played a lot, and so it'll shake out. You know, who's going to be the next Matthew Butler? Well, we don't know, but, you know, a guy will rise out of the, you know, 7-8 guys that play up there. You heard it in the secondary, too. Well, we've got some questions back there, but if you put 10 guys in a hat and pick a few out, somebody's gonna turn up to be the new star in that group. It's sort of the argument that they have depth and they have balance. But if your ones aren't good enough, then the fact that you have twos that look like them also isn't good enough. And that's not a knock on what Tennessee has. We've only seen them one game, but yeah, I do have questions. And this is the type of game where you get those questions answered because Even though Pitt did have its issues last week, they do have a very experienced offensive line. They've got a running back that will run it hard. That's more of their scheme. They want to run at you. Tennessee. This is where you answer that if you're going to be competitive. In the SEC because Pitt in their front seven on defense and in their offensive line on offense. Look a lot like a lot of the teams that are coming up on the schedule in the SEC. So this is where we get the answers to a lot of the questions that we had in the offseason. And Tennessee hopes they have the answers, but, you know, they don't know. They've only seen their guys in camp, and they saw their guys against Ball State. So we'll find out on Saturday.
Adam Sparks on with us here on Robbie and Rexo. And Adam, last thing for you. Speaking of answers, how much are we going to learn about Tennessee's receiving core, specifically guys like Hyatt and McCoy in this game against Pittsburgh? I think we know what they have in Tillman, but those two really intrigue me heading into this game.
Yeah, I think Josh Heupel thinks his scheme is better than Narduzzi's scheme, and he's faced it, what is it, 4 to 5 years, 5 out of 6 years, something like that, in that, you know, Narduzzi will load up the box, and he'll bring like 8 guys at a time. And everything that Josh Heupel said this week was our receivers have to get off press man. You have to get off press man. He's drilled that into them all week because that's almost exclusively the coverages that Pitt plays. And so McCoy's got to get off of that and get over the top. Hyatt in the slot's not going to face as much of it, but he's still going to have to get off the line of scrimmage. And you know, I mean, Josh Heupel saying that because he knows you're not going to have that much time against Pitt. But if you can get off press man and you can get over the top, you can hit some big plays. And if Tennessee hits big plays early on and those guys get off the line of scrimmage, especially Brew McCoy, I think, or I mean, even a little Hyatt, because Hyatt, they like to run deep more. You hit some big plays, you're up 10-0, 14-0. Tennessee's, you know, sitting pretty there because Pitt does not necessarily have an offense that can come back against that tempo.
Adam Sparks, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Adam, great stuff as always. Looking forward to this game and appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Wait, Adam, when's the drive start? Oh, he hung up. No. Dang, just hanging up on me.
You don't have any, he's no time for answering your questions.
The Sparkses are driving. Adam and Bev.
It's impressive. Adam Sparks with the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to look ahead to Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Join 1025-1063 the game this Sunday following the Titans game for the postgame show with Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow live from 6th and Peabody from 6 to 7 p.m. Postgame show is brought to you by Renner's Warehouse and Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from Two Rivers Ford. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices, if I could speak, of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. We'll have Titans offensive guard Aaron Brewer coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that conversation with him. But right now, discussing Vols. And, Joe, I got to say, I'm fired up for this game tomorrow. I think it's going to be a great game between Tennessee and Pittsburgh. And I was thinking about this yesterday. We talked about Hendon Hooker the other day and how important it is for him to be accurate tomorrow, for him to be at the top of his game for Tennessee to win this game. And I was thinking about this part of it, too, yesterday. I think there's a good chance if he can stay healthy this year, he's going to climb up a lot of categories this year of Tennessee football in terms of quarterback play, whether that be yards, rushing yards, touchdowns. I mean, it's going to be an electric offense this year, and he's going to do it in 2 years as a quarterback. But, you know, when you start to think about legacies of Tennessee quarterbacks, you know, he's not going to pass Peyton Manning or anything like that. You know, Josh Dobbs was here for a long time. Played a lot of good football for the Vols. They've had some good quarterbacks over the years. But you need to add some signature wins to your belt. And this qualifies to me tomorrow. Like, you're going on the road for a ranked team, like a pretty good team in Pittsburgh. Now, probably not as good as they were a year ago, but we'll see. We'll find out on that front. Like, this is important not only for the game itself and as Adam laid out in the last segment, what it could mean moving forward, but you start to think about Hendon Hooker, the type of numbers he could put up this year, how he's remembered as a Tennessee quarterback. Like, it's not a Georgia game. It's not a Florida game. It's not an Alabama game. I get that, and we'll find out a little bit more about that later as the year goes on. But an opportunity for Hendon Hooker, Josh Heupel, and this team to come up with a signature win tomorrow in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. Now that we're right on the cusp of it, I'm very pumped too. But I've been excited about this game the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I don't even know if Pittsburgh. There's some people who think Slovis is more talented than Pickett. And look, Pickett was tremendous last year. Is it realistic to expect Slovis to match that or outperform that? I don't think it is. I will say that after a rough kind of start in that game against West Virginia, he looked pretty good.
He settled
in. Talented quarterback. But I think Sparks laid out a couple things. First of all, yeah, like, it's such a different – it is a fork in the road in terms of if they win this game, it is going to be absolute kerosene on the fire leading into the Florida game. And it is. I mean, that might be game day, right?
Could be.
I mean, that could be a game day game, and that would be. Well, of course, we don't know. Some of that is what
when
Florida,
they come off their loss to Kentucky.
I was going to say some of that does have to do with what Florida does, but for the Tennessee fan, they'd probably take that too, right? They'll take like their team being in the teens and Florida looking more vulnerable. Although I don't know, that's an interesting question for you. Would you rather have Anthony Richardson look awesome this week as long as the Vols win too and go into this huge clash of the Titans game, or would you rather see some flaws in Florida before? You know, given the history of that series for the Vols.
Well, look, it doesn't matter if Florida's 3-0 if they lose the next two and go 1-2. It's still Florida.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm going to view them pretty much the same going into that game. Selfishly, I'm kind of rooting for both teams to be 3-0 heading into that game.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And honestly,
as
like
Adam said in the last segment, 1997.
1997.
I'd feel a little bit like the 90s back then. A little
97,
nostalgia.
My year.
Of birth?
Yep.
Good Lord. By the way, Sparks and Bev are leaving at 1. Bev couldn't get a substitute teacher today.
Okay. So all right.
There you go. We got the update on the Sparks family vacation. But so that is one thing. They lose. I mean, look, it's one loss. Like, if they lose, no one should be shocked. That's the thing. I think that there will be, with some people, some shock that you go into the defending ACC. Are they reigning? Reigning ACC champion? Or are they defending?
College football is interesting on that front.
I mean,
because everything kind of matters.
Yeah, okay. So defending ACC champion, team ranked, whatever, what are they ranked, 15th?
17th.
Okay. Into their house, which, by the way, has not been a great atmosphere, but was a great atmosphere last week and might be again tomorrow, and it's the best, I mean, it's the best football team in the city, I'm sorry, relative to the competition. Yes, Michelle, come on. The Steelers are dog water this year. Come on.
I agree.
Thank you. Like, it's a big game. It's a tough game. You shouldn't be shocked if they lose. If they do lose, though, there's gonna be some wind out of the sails. You know, and it's like, it's just the conversation around Tennessee football is so intense, no matter whether it's positive or negative. Like, that's why I feel like there's even more on their game sometimes, just because of the outside reaction to things.
I totally agree. Adam in Portland on the text line says, I'm still not fully sold on the Vols defense. We smashed Ball State, but we also gave up third down conversions in that game. Got to find a way to get pressure on third downs. If not, we'll be in shootouts every single game, and that will not sustain the Volunteers. We're going to learn, I think, a whole lot about exactly where the Tennessee defense is coming up tomorrow. And make no mistake, they will face significantly better offenses this year than they're about to face tomorrow against Pittsburgh, but we're going to get a pretty good litmus test of where this Tennessee defense is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, and that's the other thing Sparks brought up that I think is really important to hammer home is the last year Pittsburgh, what was the best part of their team? It was Pickett throwing to Addison and Wayne and those guys and Crawl. I mean, that drove their team to an ACC championship, top 10 ranking, all that stuff. They got in some shootouts, like against Western Michigan, and lost, but this year, I don't think there's any question, and especially in this game, if they can have 38 minutes of possession, that stat matters to them. It doesn't matter to, like, Josh Heupel's like, sure, have
it
your possession.
Care. Yeah.
But still, if you're Pat Narduzzi, it's like, okay, but I still want them to have as few opportunities as possible. So they're going to try to run it right at the balls, and I don't know how it's going to go. I think last year with Butler, as Sparks mentioned, and some of those guys, Blakely up front and stuff, I think they're a little bit more stout. I mean, they are going to be tested in that way in this game. I also say this is not going to be like Ball State, which was knowing it can't block Tennessee and balls out fast. Like, you're going to have some deep drops, some play action, and you're going to have a chance to get after it. I mean, Byron Young and Tyler Barron, you got to be studs in this game.
Well, I think Adam hit on maybe the number one key of the game in the last segment. Can Brew McCoy, Cedric Tillman, Jalen Hyatt, can they get open? Can they get open quick? And can Hendon Hooker hit them down the field? I mean, let's be honest here. They connect on two or three of those passes in the first half last year, and they're winning that game by 14 points last year against Pittsburgh. They didn't do it. We know what happened. I think they're going to get some shots tomorrow. I think Cedric Tillman's going to get open. I think Brew McCoy's going to get open. Can Hooker hit him? Can the offensive line, who I thought was impressive in game one, not much of a test in game one, I think they're going to get a better test coming up tomorrow. Can they block long enough for plays to develop down the field? If they can, then I like Tennessee's chances in this game. If they can't, it's going to be tough sledding out there.
Yeah, and we talked about this earlier in the week, the absolute lack of any sort of tailback or running back run game against Pittsburgh last year. It's what, like Adam says, it's like man press. I mean, it's not always man. It's zone. It's kind of like everybody's talking about like Saban's defense. Man, it's like man, but it's zone. There's like been some stories out recently that's ripped off from Narduzzi like 10 years ago. Well, not even 10 years ago, maybe like 8 years ago. I mean, it's like press man at the line, and you got to win. But that's where having physical receivers is great to have, like Brew McCoy and Tillman. Those are guys who should be able to win against most corners in those situations.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Aaron Brewer, Titans guard. Looking forward to that conversation. We'll get his thoughts on the game coming up against the Giants. Speaking of week one, kick off week one with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. Then you can turn game day into payday all season long. I like the Titans against the Giants. I like them to cover as well at -5.5. I like the Packers against the Vikings as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Play your way and bet on more than just the final score. Wager on everything from touchdowns to total yards to catches. You can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't fumble your chance to get $150 in free bets. Win or lose with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode. Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are looking ahead to the Titans and the Giants coming up on Sunday. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Lots of excitement from Titans fans throughout the week this week. It's a good feeling, week one in the NFL. It got underway last night with the Rams and the Bills, and the Titans will be in action coming up on Sunday. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans offensive guard Aaron Brewer. Aaron, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
No problem. Good morning.
So, Aaron, what's this week like for you as you prepare for starting this game coming up on Sunday, week one in the NFL? Butterflies, nervousness, anticipation, excitement, a combination of all of that. What's kind of your feelings heading into this week?
I'd say it's a combination, but I'm most definitely excited for this week. Get my real first start of the season at home opener. I'm excited right now.
Aaron, obviously, this has been a really big preseason for you. There was talk about, you know, competition at right tackle and left guard, but really, I mean, you've been the guy at left guard the entire time. I know you've played a lot of football for the Titans here since signing up in 2020, but how is it different being a starter, even just getting all the reps with the ones, being next to Taylor Lewan all the time, and then, of course, as you're now in a game week looking at an opponent? I know everybody has to prepare to be a starter, but you are a starter. What's the difference there in mindset and just routine?
Honestly, the only difference is actually being in the spot, because even being the backup, being that sixth man, every week, every day, I was preparing as I was going to have to be the starter. So right now I'm just doing the same routine I was doing at first and just trying to enhance every day.
Aaron, obviously you've played a lot with Taylor Lewan over the years. What's been that process of developing that chemistry together on that left side, and where do you think you guys are from that standpoint heading into this season?
I think we're pretty solid. Me and Taylor just from this whole offseason to camp to now, we just, man, locked in, having them talk, understanding, like, how we want to do things, the things we can do because of the traits we have, and just growing that bond together and being on the same page.
So as you look at look at the Giants here, I know it's, first of all, the season opener can be, especially when you have a new coaching staff, can be tough, right? It's not like, I mean, from here on, you're going to have film to look at everybody. In this case, you kind of have to, I assume a lot of Bills film, but Wink Martindale is a guy you guys have seen, and you know what he does in terms of, I know there's been questions this week about a lot of overloading and things, a lot of blitzing, a lot of different looks and things like that. How would you describe him as a D coordinator and the challenge, regardless of the personnel, the challenge that he brings schematically?
I say he has a lot of things up his sleeve. He got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, and he just played multiple formations. So I say he is a great defense coordinator. Just how you handle things is different. He throw a lot at you.
Titans guard Aaron Brewer on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Aaron, obviously you guys were pretty healthy offensively for the most part throughout training camp. How beneficial is that, do you think, for you guys heading into week one, and where do you think you guys are as a whole, as an offense, heading into this game?
I think that's a great thing to always have everybody healthy and able to go when the season starts. And we're trying to make sure we're able to maintain that throughout the whole season, and I think we're looking pretty good for week one, looking pretty solid.
I know, like, every offensive lineman on the Tennessee Titans in recent years gets asked the question about Derrick Henry. I know Taylor Lewan's always like, well, I'm blocking my guy. Like, I'm not watching him run, when we're on the field. But still, I imagine it's got to be pretty special to block for that guy, to create lanes and to see what he does. So, and sometimes you are watching him, right, because you're trying to catch up with him when he busts a big one. What's it like playing with him, and what do you think he's what do you think about how he looked in the preseason and is prepared to do this season?
He's one of a kind. He's special. And it amazes me all the time, like when I just see him break away or just see him do the things he do at the size he is, like not too many people, you don't see too many men able to do that. So, like, it's amazing seeing him and playing with him. And I think this season, he's been moving up every year, so I think it's uphill for him this year as well.
Aaron Brewer on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Aaron, it's always amazing to watch Ben Jones every year, the different things that he fights through, and just how he's always seemingly available out there on the field. What's it like watching Ben Jones do his thing at the center position, and what sort of a leader is he for you guys on that offensive line?
He's a big leader for us. I'm like, he's the captain of the offense and captain of the team. And he's that vet. He just got a lot of knowledge on him and probably the toughest guys I've ever played with, toughest person I've ever been around. And it's good. It's cool being next to Ben Jones. Like, with all the years, he got all the experience. And then that is just watching, like, we had them talks and he'd teach me this and that, but just watching him and seeing the things he do, it's great.
So I've been bothering the heck out of Aaron here the last few weeks. I'll apologize on the air, man. I keep coming to his locker. He's like, you again? Really? But writing a story about Aaron and his kind of his origin story, which is fascinating. So for people who don't know, Aaron, first of all, tell the listeners a little bit about the backflip and how that kind of helped your college career get going, and then how you found your way here to the Titans.
Okay, so the backflip story, it was my senior year high school. I was coming out my junior year, I didn't play because I had an injury, broke my forearm, so I stayed out the whole season. Somehow I didn't go to too many college camps, so I came in senior season, like, that was the only film I had to put on tape. So season over in the off season. And track president, I'm about to do. I'm a track president about to leave. And so I think one of my boys here told me to bust a backflip. Just told my coach and another teammate to do a backflip. So I was going to do it, but he told me he wanted to record it. So we did the backflip. He posted it on Twitter. And so when we posted on Twitter, about 30 minutes after I come back into the training room, and Texas State called me. Like, I was talking to Texas State prior, but wasn't no offer there yet. But after I did the bachelor poster, went around a little bit, as soon as came in, I got that offer. And so when we come from there, go to Texas State, this is a guy named Stretch. He's working with us here now. He's the one who had brought me into Texas State. That was his first year there under Every Withers. And so just being there with him and having that connection with him coming here as well, they just all played out pretty well for me.
Yeah, and of course, Stretch, John Stryker Stretch, who people may remember, you know, he actually was the head coach when Vrabel had COVID last year in the preseason game. Then also, yeah. How'd he do, by the way? How was he? How is Stretch as a head coach?
It was different. Stretch was Stretch. You know, I can't even explain it.
So I also want to apologize because, like, basically, you've kind of been put on the spot now, Aaron, that, like, when at some point you're going to have to do a backflip on the field after the Titans score a touchdown. I mean, you've kind of previewed it, but, like, is this something that we can expect to see at some point this season?
Absolutely. I think I'm pulling a little trick out of my bag or something. Got something for y'all.
That's what we're here for. Aaron Brewer, our guest here on Robbie and Rexel. Well, Aaron, we appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Good luck coming up on Sunday against the Giants. Really looking forward to watching you play, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. Titans guard Aaron Brewer, our guest here on Robbie and Rexel. I mean, you heard it. He's going to pull out the backflip at some point this year.
I mean, I honestly think, like, I think watch 55 Sunday, like when they score a touchdown, especially maybe if it's like a rushing touchdown maybe or something. I think that I asked Ben Jones about this too. He's like, yeah, be ready. I'm like, okay. The dude, the 296-pound dude in full pads completing a backflip. How many people in the NFL could do this?
I just want to point out, the Titans have been known over the years to throw a touchdown pass or two to offensive linemen. Now, it's going to be difficult to do at the guard position.
The guard eligible?
Yeah. You're going to have to probably move them around at that point. But just saying, athleticism. Maybe there's a formation Vrabel's thought of Brewer at tackle. Just throw him the ball.
I don't know. Or you could do a little like sweep. You know, you bring the guard. So you do a fumble ruse. There's a lot of things you could do. But seriously, like, if you're athletic enough, first of all, as an interior offensive lineman, you had no FBS offers before doing this backflip. And the FBS
offer.
That's
insane
to me. Yeah, the FBS offer he got, well, that was Texas State. I mean, it's like, so Texas A&M, and he played at Dallas Skyline, by the way. Anybody who follows recruiting, like Dallas Skyline, I mean, he was surrounded with power five, like stars, right? So it's easy to get lost. But you think about that, being that athletic, and an NFL team actually was like looking at him as a tight end.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like, and obviously the size thing is like, people are always going to bring it up, whether he plays well or doesn't. But if you're that athletic, I'm just really interested to see what that looks like all through the season. And with the size, like, you also have to hold up through a season. I mean, there's a lot to find out about him, but I think right now it's fair to say that was a heck of a find by them a couple years ago.
Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight at 6:04 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, by which we'll hear a couple of very interesting predictions yesterday from a couple of our coworkers. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Three teams that I have in the NFC wildcard. I do have the 49ers.
Okay.
I believe that the Niners get in there. I have the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
And then, way out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
the Detroit Lions.
Yes!
I have the Bucks missing the playoffs.
Oh, wow. Tom missing the playoffs in his potential last year? Potentially could be his last year.
But I have the Detroit Lions as the surprise team out of the North making the playoffs as a wild card.
Oh, I like that.
All right. D-Mace, for you.
All right. I got New Orleans. I got the Rams. And then, as my fellow co-host.
You're co-host, not taking them.
Whatever you want to call them, the suit, I'm taking the Lions.
Oh, my gosh.
You got the Lions.
I got the Lions.
You guys both have the Lions making the playoffs?
Yes.
Playoffs?
I know it sounds far-fetched. I know it does, Willie. I really do.
You guys have been watching some serious Hard Knocks and falling in love.
Hey, man.
You're falling in love.
You got to fall in love with something, you know?
Wow. All right.
You can't fall in love with the girl until you actually meet and see her, right?
Yeah, that's so, true. Okay.
There we go.
Well, that was yesterday on Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. Lots of love being thrown the way of the Detroit Lions by Chase McCabe and Derek Mason. This is the Rex Rant today. Joe Rex, with all this being said, and with this beautiful song in the background, I turn things over to you. What did you make of that yesterday from Chase and D-Mace picking the Detroit Lions to make the playoffs?
First of all, that's a heck of a pull there, Michelle. Is that like the Lawrence Welk version of Gridiron Heroes?
I hope so.
Well, listen, I went onto YouTube and I couldn't think of the name, and I'm like, Lion's Song, and then I saw these live versions, which were terrible, just that random people singing it, and then I found the lyric one, and that was like all marching bandy.
I mean, my goodness. So here's the thing. I think that there's a little bit of this going around. I think Willie hit on it, right? It's the Hard Knocks thing. Everybody likes Dan Campbell. Of course you do. Dan Campbell's very likable. So, Chase, Lions instead of Bucks. First of all, Eagles, Vikings, Saints. That's a little more understandable. Lions instead of Bucks, don't like it. But my issue here is with D-Mace. Because, like me, D-Mace knows well the history of the Detroit Lions. And I don't understand. I feel so bad for Detroit Lions fans that there are any, okay? I feel bad for every single one of them.
By the way, their game is sold out.
Oh, I know. Oh, yes, it is.
For the first time in a while, man.
Oh, it's standing room only.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
So we had Vinny Goodwill on. If you guys, friend of the show, NBA writer for Yahoo, Detroiter, and he said the date, right? He said the date. The date that, I'm going to find the exact date. I know that it was the summer of 1999. So it was July, what I think he said, like July 27th, 1999. It was like right when camp started. That's the date he said, I will never be a Lions fan anymore. That's the date when I said, I will never be a Lions fan anymore. You know how much better my life is because I did this?
Significantly.
It's so much better. And I don't understand, D-Mace, why you wouldn't have joined that. You know, I know at that time D-Mace was, you know, like in the NFL. So he probably didn't care anyway, right?
He was
a fan of his team that he was playing for in the NFL. But, folks, they have one playoff win since 1957. I don't have time to go through all the reasons they suck, okay? But they suck, and they will always suck. And they may randomly make the playoffs here and there. They'll never do anything. It goes to ownership. It's a dreadful franchise. It's a complete joke. No, they're not. They're going to win like 5 games this year. What are we talking about? The freaking Lions suck. Now I'm going to have a Jared segment. They suck.
I've got 2 things to say. I'll start with this. Number one, as I want to remind everybody, and I broke this rule yesterday. I got a little fired up on the text line. It's preseason predictions. It's really not a big deal at the end of the day. So, everybody calm down. I get all that. But number two, I want to speak specifically to Chase McCabe here because I think you kind of glossed over what he did there, and I just want to bring it back to light for a second. I really, history I understand. Like we had somebody early on the text line, a perfect example, talking about Mike Tomlin never having a losing season with Pittsburgh. And that's great. It's very impressive. As you pointed out, it's awesome. That doesn't really change what I think the Steelers are this year, which is not very good. I've seen Mitch Trubisky play a lot of quarterback. It's not great. So we'll see what happens on that front this year with Pittsburgh. I don't think they're going to be very good. I bring that up to say history doesn't always tell us what's going to happen. But let's just think about these two extremes for a moment, because Chase McCabe had this choice yesterday. There was one playoff spot left on the line in his predictions. And he had the choice of the Detroit Lions, who, as you've just pointed out, have one playoff win since the mid-50s, who are perpetually one of the worst teams in the NFL, who cannot get out of their own way. And really, it starts with ownership, but cannot get out of their own way. And the second choice that he had was Tom Brady, the greatest football player of all time, the greatest winner in team sports of all time here in this country, with Tom Brady, outside of Bill Russell, obviously, but the greatest football winner of all time. And he chose the Lions. He chose the Detroit Lions over Tom Brady. Let's think about that choice for a second. Tom Brady and the Detroit Lions.
I mean, it makes for a great eyebrow raising segment. You know, Paul is on the text line here saying the Rex rant doesn't include Stillman bragging about Backstreet Boys. Then reevaluate the rant.
This is much worse.
Stillman is not the biggest hot taker on our station this week.
No,
it's Chase.
How do you get but again? Now, you're right with Chase because of the Bucs angle. That is wild. I still, though, D-Mace, I mean, you, as a Detroiter, D-Mace, come on, man.
He should know.
Come on. You got to know. So, no, I mean, I honestly have no problem with Stillman going to Backstreet Boys.
Yeah.
I have no rant about that. I have no rant about Stillman's takes this week.
I will say this. Chase and D-Mace are not the only ones I've heard giving the Lions some love. Now, I don't know that I've heard very many people say that they're going to make the playoffs. But there seems to be like this groundswell of expectation of like the Lions taking a huge leap this year. And I'm looking at their roster, and I'm like, where exactly do you think this is coming from? Like, I know they've got Aiden Hutchinson in there now, and you know, hopefully Jameson Williams can be a factor down the road for them. But they're not very good. Their roster's not good. I don't know what's going on here.
So Peter King, Peter King's really good, and I value like his analysis. Like he kind of like Charles, you know, like he has a lot of insight on all the teams, does a lot of work to have that insight. And his predictions, I mean, I think they're way better than most like national media predictions. He picked the Titans, by the way, to beat the Colts in the division, but he included the Lions among like surprise. But he picked them 7-10, so fine. Okay.
Sure.
So he had like the Jags and Lions surprise record, 7-10. Okay, fine. I could buy that. I could buy the Lions, because that's actually an improvement. That's pretty
good. I will say this. I think the Chicago Bears have a great opportunity to be worse than the Detroit Lions this year. So we'll find out.
Yeah. So there's a win for the Lions fan. You're not in last. You're not a complete – you're not threatening, you know, the 0-16 Lions. But they are not a playoff team. They will not be a playoff team. And you know what? I hope someday the Lions win a Super Bowl, and all the Lions fans who stuck with them can rejoice. I will feel so good for those people. And I won't have a right. I will not have a right.
No, you won't.
To celebrate. And that's fine. I've disavowed that. I will feel good for those people. But here's the thing. This will not happen. Ever. Okay.
It's the Hard Knocks effect.
This will, the game of football will cease to exist before the Lions win a Super Bowl.
Mike on the text line says, haven't seen an episode of Hard Knocks. I still think the Lions are going to make the playoffs. It's coming from Mike.
Man. Okay.
Are you on Twitter, though, and seeing
the happy hour start at 7 a.m.?
Hey, they play the Eagles coming up this weekend. Looking forward to it.
Standing room only.
See if A.J. Brown can handle those pesky Lions this weekend.
I think he... Thank you. I love the version you found. It's
beautiful.
I mean, it's straight out of 1942.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they head into the game this weekend against the Giants. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.